This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
It is sad to watch these kids of Chad Daybell and kind of where they are as adults. One could hope that maybe they'll get some bearings. Maybe someone will help them along the way to find more of life. Let's take a look at Chad's daughter talking about darkness and light as it related to their very own mom, according to dad, Chad Daybell.
Here it goes.
There's been some discussion about the idea of light and dark. Can you describe to me what you understand to be the concept of light and dark?
The phrases good and evil would be talking about your actions, what you chose to do, where light and dark would be talking about your motivations. Light, it means that you're acting selflessly like the Savior would be, and dark means that you're selfish, focusing inward like Satan would be.
Okay, was this something that your mother, from your discussions with your family, shared with your father in terms of her beliefs?
Yes.
So would it be fair to say that your mother's beliefs, to your knowledge, were also of the fundamental or traditional node?
Probably more so than him.
Okay. Did she ever have discussions about putting numbers, death percentages or numbers, whether how light and how dark a person would be?
Yes.
Did she do that frequently?
Yes.
Okay. Was it particularly about anybody, or was it as her day-to-day activities, she would make comments about that?
As she came across people and observed things, she would mention it.
Objection, Your Honor, calls for hearsay.
Makes you wonder if the numbering of individuals on their light and dark scale is something that he lifted from Tammy before that all ended.
Yeah, I think they did a good. I think they did a really good job being Chad and Lori of taking a premise and manipulating it for their gain. Because you listen to her. She speaks the language of that cult fluently,
completely.
And she's still bought into it. This isn't like, she doesn't speak, you know, kind of like the other people that have testified as well, you know, like the friends of Lori that have been on the stands where they don't show any shame for their belief system. They just got to the point where maybe people dying is not a good thing. They didn't say killing, because all you're doing is releasing the darkness and they're being reincarnated. And we're texting with them in the afterlife anyway, so it's really okay.
Exactly. They found some way to justify it mentally into their world of bizarre beliefs. But if you look at the Colby Ryan, the one who did break away, who was never really truly part of the Daybell cult, he'd already gone into adulthood. He's the only one that's like really kind of stood out and has been like, no, this is nuts. You know, like this is not okay.
Yeah. I'm curious who made the first leap from the numbering system of darkness to that corresponding with who has a life insurance policy.
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
Someone made that leap. It was either Chad or Lori. Someone made that leap.
Mm-hmm. And they're dark. The darker you get, the closer we get to your money. Make sure I'm the signatory on that.
What a coincidence.
Oh. Let's listen to one more. This is his daughter talking about having a conversation with dad about Lori's children, because naturally you'd kind of be curious what happened to Lori's kids. You guys are kind of together now and kind of a thing. We don't see the kids anymore. What's up? And how mundane of an answer Chad gave and how much she just blindly accepted that answer.
So it's your understanding that at the Knott's Berry Farm trip, Lori Vallow came from another direction. Is that correct?
Yes.
She didn't participate in the travel plans with you to California. Is that correct?
Yes.
At any time, without telling me what she said, was the topic of the location of the children discussed with her?
Yes.
Okay. At any time, did you and your father ever discuss his knowledge of where the children might be?
Yes.
Okay. What do you understand your father's knowledge of where the children were located during the time that investigators were looking for them?
Objection, Your Honor, calls for hearsay.
Overruled.
Go ahead.
From my understanding, and from... I was told that the children were in a safe place.
Okay. And was that understanding through your discussions with your dad?
Yes.
What'd you make of that? There was a weird pause before she came to the statement of, I was told the children were in a safe place and just accepted it because Supreme Leader said so.
Yeah. I mean, you can hear her, she's very specific with her question, with her answer. She's very spot on. She's not hesitating. She's not pausing. So her congruency with everything's really spot on in a sense that she's completely bought into everything. She's not trying to be deceitful. She's trying to be honest, but her honesty is from the context of what she's been indebted to. I mean, she's just been brainwashed.
Yeah.
So when her dad says they're in a safe place, yeah, they're a safe place. Now, their definition of safe place is different than your mind. Their safe place was, you know, 6 feet under.
Yeah.
In a bucket.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd be concerned about a safe place for any of these kids as they get older.
The only safe place in their life is either not in it, or if you're a friend of them, then I don't have an insurance policy. If you had insurance policy in your circle, there's no safe place.
Yeah, without a doubt.
This is one of those cases that's really not that complicated. Mm-hmm. You know, when you really boil down cults, they're really not complicated. It starts with love bombing, and then you have an idea, you have a charismatic leader, and you're going to take something from someone else to benefit yourself. Usually it's money. Sex is always involved. Control is always involved. And the thing that they lacked here, they lacked isolating their community. Because when you don't isolate that community and sequester them so that all they can do is feed into their own groupthink, then you start having outside influences, like outside outliers of families and friends are saying, what's that craziness you're doing? Which kind of puts into question some of the things that are going on. That's why some of their followers agreed with completely everything that they're doing, except I don't know if I'm really buying into this. You know, people shouldn't really be dying. Mm-hmm. Even though you're texting them now. See what I mean? So the fact that it leaked out is their only flaw, thankfully, that they had, because everyone else in there would have died. And so what would have eventually happened? So here's my conjecture of projecting this forward. Eventually, every cult member would be required to get an insurance policy.
Yeah. I think had it continued on, these very witnesses, his kids would probably also have been on the chopping block at some point.
Everyone's on a chopping block.
Yep.
You know, if you start, because what eventually would happen is if you start questioning the cult, well, then you've gone dark, and thank God you got an insurance policy, because that means we can bump you off.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.